Welcome to Washington In Focus. I'm your host, Brett Davis, the Center Square's Washington State Editor. Joining me today is investigative reporter TJ Martineau. So welcome back, TJ, from your vacation. I hope you enjoyed your time off. I sort of felt like you were still here while you were gone because there was a bit of fallout from a story you wrote about the State Sex Offender Policy Board's use of a document, a summary document, that basically says community notification of sex offenders, you know, moving into a neighborhood is actually undermines public safety, and that sex offender registries should be reserved for law enforcement and not made public. The reasoning behind this is that notifications and registries make it more difficult to reintegrate sex offenders into the community. Can you give us some background and tell us what happened?
Yeah, so the State Sex Offender Policy Board is looking at changing the sentence ranges for convicted sex offenders or people convicted of sex crimes. And at this recent meeting, there was a document that was included that was a summary of some recommendations from a law institute.
I think it's the American Law Institute. It's a Philadelphia-based research advocacy group.
Yeah. And what they have is a bunch of recommendations on changes that they are advocating for a person who is in prison or incarcerated for a sex offense, and also what happens once they're released from prison. And one of them is to not have communities notified when they move into an area, into a community, so people would not be notified.
So I spoke with Board Chair Brad Merrihue, who was, shall I say, not very happy with the story you wrote. We had what I would consider a frank, but, you know, relatively respectful conversation. He explained, as you mentioned, that the document is a summary put together by the board's data scientist of a draft model penal code from the American Law Institute. He said the document is part of the board's doing its due diligence and staying up to date with the latest research and policy proposals on sex offender management. I didn't even know there was such a thing, but I guess so. He was emphatic that the board supports community notification and has never considered a proposal to change that. I pushed back a little on that respectfully because the summary document is in fact housed on a government website. The document itself, the 7-page document, there's no mention, there's a lack of context. There's no mention that the info comes from the ALI or that it's for research purposes only. So I spoke with him and watched a follow-up board meeting and wrote a follow-up story on that. So
yeah,
that was a good time.
I'd like to note two things. One, sure. We still don't know who wrote the summary of this draft.
Right.
So
I know it's just a data scientist. I think I saw her at the meeting, but I didn't catch a name.
Right. And the other thing that is concerning is, so the pushback, and it came from more than just the board chair, is over a very specific recommendation, but this was not the only recommendation that I included in the story. Mm-hmm. And it's also not the only recommendation included in this draft document. The other thing that is concerning is the overall philosophy that is driving many of these recommendations. And I'm going to give, this is the key quote that's included in the summary. The result convincingly documented is that these laws actually undermine public safety, the exact opposite of what lawmakers and the public so confidently assume they accomplish. And when they say these laws, it's referring to restrictions on sex offenders, meaning where they can live, where they can work, community notifications, and being on a sex registry. So they're claiming that this stuff undermines public safety. And so my question for them is, do you accept that philosophy? Because if you don't accept that philosophy, it's going to put you at odds with the recommendations because they're founded on this belief that these restrictions placed on sex offenders is actually harmful to the community. And I'll also note another quote that has to do with this where, and I'm not going to get too much into it because it deals with a lot of very technical legal stuff, but it's one section of this draft says that part of these sentencing ranges must not, and I'm quoting here, must not permit a sentence that replicates the excesses current American penal practices. To do so would perpetuate the inequities, injustice, and inefficiency of the current system. End quote. So they're claiming that there's inequities, injustice, and inefficiency of the current system. And my question is, what, like, that we're going to need to have some more context to what that means.
Right.
And then also later on, it talks about how they need to basically prevent severe sentences for sex offenders. And it says, this is the summary, I believe. Actually, no, I believe this is a quote from the document, that not the draft summary. This isn't a summary. Mm-hmm. These are actual quotes taken. The intention is not to depreciate the seriousness of these sexual offenses. Rather, the maximums authorized under Article 213 reflect the desire to recalibrate society's understanding of what constitutes a severe sanction. To the extent that jurisdiction punishes equally serious conduct more severely, the penalties outlined in Article 213 should inspire reevaluations of the propriety of those severe sentences. End quote. So these are the philosophical arguments being made, or the ideological arguments being made, for recommendations that they have included. This just raises a lot of questions of, okay, you don't believe in removing community notifications for sex offenders when they move in to a neighborhood, but what about the philosophy of this document? You know, you're wanting to stay up to date on this stuff, but these recommendations have, I would argue that many of them are just as controversial. They talk about how restrictions on sex offenders, such as GPS tracking devices that they have to wear or internet access limitations, should only be done when absolutely necessary. So it's putting more of a burden on those who want to control these sex offenders when they're released, then saying, you know, why is this necessary, as opposed to, well, if their crime's severe enough, I would argue if they've been convicted in a court of law of a very severe sex crime, you really don't need to have to explain yourself on that.
I imagine this will be a topic that comes up again and again, given the sensitive subject matter.
Well, and I also believe that it's going to, if they're going to continue to look at some of these recommendations in the future, they're going to have to, people are going to have questions about this document. And
right.
And it's not about the person summarizing it. It's about these things that they are extracting from it, because like it's saying, it's a summary of what's being said in another document. Well, do you agree with the underlying arguments that are being made, specifically that key quote about how these restrictions undermine public safety? Do you believe that, yes or no? Because if you do, then at least we understand you may not be in favor of this one recommendation, but right, you are potentially in favor of other ones that could be seen as equally offensive or dangerous in the eyes of the public.
I mean, even if they are just using this document or other documents for research purposes, you know, there was a lack of context in this document we're talking about, you know, and it was made public, and, you know, people were rightly upset about that.
It would have clarified things if someone had said during the meeting, like they read the review and said, this is just a review for purposes of just being staying up to date. But then that raises the question of, what is the purpose of staying up to date? It's like wanting to stay up to date on, you know, software that you're using. Well, why do you want to stay up to date? Because you want to install it on your computer. May not want everything installed, but you're looking at installing potentially some updates to software on your computer, maybe not every single update. So the same thing with this. They may not be advocating for every single thing recommended in this document, but they are potentially looking at recommending some of them. Right. And now that they've come out and said that they're not in favor of removing sex offender notifications, what other ones are they potentially going to recommend? Which ones are they possibly going to consider is the question to be asked.
And that's basically what I told, Mary, who I said, you know, it looks like you're at least considering this, because, you know, this is an official document. It was brought up at a meeting. So in some way, shape or form, you're at least looking at it.
Correct.
Well, we look forward to more about this in the future. Listeners can keep up with this story and more at thecentersquare.com. For TJ Martinell, this is Brett Davis. Please subscribe and thanks for listening.